This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good evening, everybody. It's Walter Yerkew here on 7-5 Radio. Scoop is out on assignment today. He's having some fun with his kids, so I'm going to be doing this one solo. Jay happened to be busy working today, and I'm going to wing this one for you. We have quite a bit going on this past week in the news media. And I like to bring some of this stuff up. Some of it's sensitive and some of it's a little bit ridiculous. But what I'd like to do is start with Molly Tibbetts. As many of you know, if not all of you know, Molly Tibbetts is a young lady that was murdered by an undocumented illegal immigrant this past week. I'm not going to mention this character's name because that would just be wrong. I don't believe in naming these people and giving them their 15 minutes of fame. When they get to prison, they say, yeah, that was me, man. That was me. Well, this son of a gun, and I use that term very, very loosely because I'd like to say something else, murdered this poor girl. Can't imagine the fear that this young lady felt in her last moments. It was just awful. He confessed and led the authorities to where she was left. And he's been arrested and charged with murder. Elizabeth Warren was asked on CNN the other day how she felt, and she says pretty much that she was so sorry that this happened, but we have to focus where the real problems are. And she went on to talk about children being separated from their families or their mothers when they cross the border illegally. You know, this woman who claims to be part Indian and, you know, it just doesn't make any sense the way this woman spoke about this young lady, or lack thereof. You know, she said she felt sorry for the family and such, but then she moved right on to the immigration issue, which really has not been in the news because that was kind of settled when the first lady went down there and saw that the children were being treated very well and they were reuniting these children with the real parents. The difficulty down there is that some of these kids that cross with the cross the border with these adults, we don't know if these children belong to these adults. I mean, they're Latino. They could be from any one of the southern countries, from Mexico on down. They all speak Spanish. They're all Latino. And we don't know if they belong. You know, they could be just crossing the border with the child just to get in the country to say, hey, my child, you know. And so that's a procedure that's being addressed. It's hard to do that just by looking at people, and there's no identification. So the immigration issue is going to remain an immigration issue. However, Ms. Warren, who seems to want everybody to believe she has some Indian in her. Well, enough said about that. She may have had some Indian in her at some point, but she is not, can't be, isn't. She hasn't been recognized by the Native American nation in any type of ancestry. So we're going to just let that go. But she just stepsiding an American citizen getting murdered by an illegal immigrant, going right to where she feels that President Trump is at fault for the immigration issue along the border, and that's been around forever. Those pictures that we saw last month in July, in the beginning of end of June, early July, with the kids lying down with these foil blankets, that was during the Obama administration. You know, so you know more real news, but given to you as gospel that this is the Trump administration. Getting back to Ms. Tibbetts, our station here sends their condolences to the Tibbetts family. The family has expressed a desire to not have her death politicized. And unfortunately, I think that ship has sailed for the family. Unfortunately for the situation, I believe that Ms. Tibbetts is going to become the poster girl for the immigration reform. Everybody says, well, maybe some good can come out of this. There is no good that comes out of this. It's like Parkland earlier this year. It gained momentum. There was a White House meeting. There were local meetings. People had rallies. People had town hall meetings. And it's August, 6 months after Parkland, and you don't hear much about it. Unfortunately, same thing is going to happen with Ms. Tibbetts, and that's what the family wants. So we're going to leave them alone and end that. Just want to bring that up, that Elizabeth Warren, Miss Loser, she will never acknowledge that this guy that murdered this girl could have been stopped with immigration reform from when Bill Clinton was in the White House. So it's been a long time. Even before that, I'm sure. We're going to move on and go over to something that bothers me a little bit, the opioid crisis. Now, down here in Middle South in Tennessee, it's a big thing. There's celebrities whose children have succumbed to opioid addiction, opioid use. And there are too many people died from opioids, opioid abuse. However, the feelings that I have on opioid use will be bringing up. Yeah. Stick with us. 75 Radio, Walter Yerkew, your host today. We'll be right back.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm 7 years old.
I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. And she'll give me a hug and we'll end up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts, and I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
Hey, we're back. This is the 7-5 Radio, Alan. And we were talking about, about the opioid crisis down here in the Middle South and all over our country. What I want to say is that, you know, years ago, there wasn't much in the way of help except the methadone programs for people on opioids and what have you. But now there's a big push for the use of this Narcan. Narcan is a drug. It's an injectable drug. That it's used to for partial reverse of opioid overdoses, and what it does is it restores brain function. It reverses what an opioid does to your brain and your breathing and such, and it's supposed to, you know, pop you back to life, so to speak. Now, a lot of people are real big on this opioid epidemic, and it is bad. It really is bad. The issue is that, you know, doctors are or have been pumping out prescriptions for opioids, painkillers, Oxycontin, oxycodone, things along those natures. And, you know, there's pill factories that doctors just, that's all they do all day long, write prescriptions. Whether you've got a knee problem or a shoulder problem or an ache somewhere, some doctors are just pumping out these things, and the lines are out the door. And the DEA knows where these places are, and they shut them down as fast as they pop up. But, you know, it's a never-ending thing. However, doctors that are writing these prescriptions is one thing. The problem is these people are getting addicted to these drugs with the opioids in them. Some of them get addicted because they have a lot of pain and they keep taking the opioid. And when the pain continues, they increase the opioid and they never get better. However, there are people that don't have aches and pains that are just drug addicts. I'm reformed from cocaine and marijuana and alcohol. And you hear that opioid addiction is a disease. You can believe that if you want. I don't believe it's a disease. It's a choice. You're creating a symptom. You're creating a cure. And you're using this, it's a disease, as an excuse to make it not sound like you're a drug addict or a junkie. And that's what you are, for all intents and purposes. You have people that get offended when they get sober. Don't attack my addiction. And they, you know, you bring up when they did all the stuff, stealing, you know, from their parents or stealing from their spouse or stealing from their kids to fund their opioid addiction. And then when they do get sober or semi-sober and you bring it up, they get offended because they've been told it's a disease. Don't attack my addiction. Don't attack my dad. That's a lot of nonsense. Okay. It's a choice. The reason I bring this up is because there are people out there and friends of mine who are diabetic, let's say, and they can't hardly afford the insulin every month. Yet Narcan is being given out like it's candy at hospitals. They bring somebody in on an ambulance. Guess what? If I get brought in on an ambulance, that's like $8,000. And I'm responsible for some of that. Going to the emergency room, I'm responsible for the copay. They give me drugs in that's most of it's covered by insurance, 75%, 80%, depending on what my deductible is. You bring somebody in that they find on the street, their choice to be laid out on an opioid, and the ambulance comes, picks them up, brings them in, emergency room, they give them a shot of Narcan. 3 hours later, they're out and they're released. Okay? They have their name, they have their ID, but if they have nothing, they can't charge anything. Well, you know, what are they going to get out of this person? You know, male or female, doesn't matter. That's part of the reason of higher hospital bills for the rest of us. All right. Opioid is a choice. You could choose to, if you put an opioid on the table, an orange on the table right next to each other, that's a choice. It's not a disease. You know, a disease or a condition is something like diabetes that needs medication every day. Most of the people that are using opioids, there comes a time when they need this Narcan, and it's given to them. You're paying for it with your tax dollars. You're paying for it. The methadone programs don't work. The drug programs don't work. Narcan is not going to solve all that. It's just another step to the next thing. The first time I ever saw this stuff work was 30 plus years ago in East New York, Brooklyn. My partner and I, we found a guy unconscious, breathing in an empty lot, suspected overdose, picked him up in an ambulance. The bus came, took him to Brookdale Hospital. And, you know, they cut open his skin around his Achilles tendon on one of his ankles. And they injected something in there. And this guy woke up in a matter of seconds. They had to hold him down. He woke up so fast. So this stuff really takes you out. I don't remember if it was Narcan or something, but it was the same result as what I'm reading about on this Narcan. And this guy was up. They had to strap him down because he was wide awake. It reversed his high, and maybe that's why he was getting high, because he was such a neurotic. Who knows? Maybe his brain was just fried from doing so many opioids ever. That's the way this stuff works. It brings you out of it. Now, you know, my friends with diabetes, you know, they're paying for needles. They're paying for the alcohol pads. They're paying for the insulin. They're paying for their machine. They're paying for their test strips, although now you can get these things that you could do it through the skin. However, they still, you know, the little sticky sticker things, the pins that stick your fingers so you can get blood on the strips, and they're paying for all this. And some of them really can't afford it. And they don't check their blood as often as they should. Some doctors say once a day, some say twice a day, some say four times a day, ever. They try not to, and they got to watch what they eat so they don't have a problem. Apparently, somebody high on opiates, it just don't matter, but that's okay. The wrong is that we are paying more attention as a country to people that are making a bad choice and trying to tell them they're making a bad choice. But I don't see anybody helping out my friends with their medical supplies and the things that they need for a real condition. And that's unfortunate. And the same thing with smoking. You have all these programs to quit smoking. Smoking is a choice. Oh, I got to have my cigarette. Oh, I have to have a cigarette with my coffee. I'm a former smoker. And we are probably despised by the rest of the smoking population as because we're former smokers. I quit cold turkey. I'm not better than anybody, and nobody's better than me. I quit cold turkey. And if I could do it in prison, smoking camels, you could do it out here on the outside. And you can do it because that's your free will. You need to choose to not do it. And that's how I feel about that. We're going to be back after this with a little bit more. And I'll take your call, letter, email. Thank you.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
you're still listening, here's more 7-5 Radio.
Welcome back to 7-5 Radio. This is going to be the second half of our show. I want to remind all our listeners that you can follow us on Twitter. It's at 75 Radio 1. Spell out 75, spell out radio, and a number 1. And that's at 75 Radio 1. And we've been getting a little bit of feedback and a little bit of comments and stuff. We have a pretty good following, I think, for a small show. We've been doing this, 4 months? Yep, 4 months. And we do okay. You can look us up online and listen to all our shows. They're all listed there in our archives. And check it out. Scoop usually has a blog of something or other to say every week. So check it out. And we'd love to hear from you. How is Paul Manafort doing these days? He was found guilty on 8 counts, 8 of 18 counts. And a little tidbit that I saw this week on the news, there's a juror who held out, the lone juror that held out on the 10 counts that there wasn't a decision on. Now, I don't know if he's going to be retried on these. And guess what? She's on CNN. She's on CNN. She says she's a Trump supporter. She has a Make America Great hat in her car. She doesn't wear it, but it's in her car when she was driving back and forth to the courthouse during this trial. And she's on TV. You know, not the 11 people that were serious about finding this guy guilty. But the one holdout, I guess that's newsworthy. The one holdout. Now, how did they contact her? I don't know. Do you think she contacted them? We got these people looking for 15 minutes of fame, no matter what they did. She held out on 10 counts. She felt that he was guilty on the other ones. She felt that he was not guilty on the other 10. You know, you guys derive what you want to believe. They all stem from Manafort doing illegal activities. You know, it was assumed that it was under the direction of Mr. Trump, and it wasn't. It came out, it wasn't. That was another part of the witch hunt. you know, Mr. Trump has some fleas on him because these people were around him. Did he make bad choices about having people around him? Sure he did. We all do. We all make bad choices. However, this guy was found guilty of 8 counts. So that just goes to show you that the man was bad and Mr. Trump made a mistake. And it's not on Trump that the guy's going to be doing prison time. You know, he could go to jail for 30 years. That's what they're saying. You know, filing false tax returns and such. Well, you know, listen, the guy ain't going to do no 30 years. Al Capone never filled out a tax return. The guy was a multimillionaire, and he did 14, something like that. And did some hard time in Alcatraz, but, you know, Al Capone is Al Capone, and Manafort is Manafort. You know, rumor has it, he was floating around since Wednesday that, you know, and it's just more of the Fox News, CNN, rumor has it that Mr. Trump may pardon him. I haven't heard anybody from the White House. Certainly Sarah Sanders is not expressing that Mr. Trump has an inclination of pardoning Mr. Manafort. So, you know, it's just, Jesus, talk about something that actually happened. report something that's actually happened, not what it might be or what it seems like or rumor has it. You know, all these people have these like little secret informants or confidential informants in the White House. A White House source says, a White House source, my source at the White House said, I mean, that's a bunch of nonsense. I'll bet you not one of these commentators, and that's what they are, they're not broadcasting news, they're commentating on what is in the headlines, on who created the headlines. They don't know anybody. They're just making it up as they go along, and that's unfortunate. But back to this lady here. She's the one holdout. You know, 15 minutes of fame, and she really was not very articulate about her. I watched the other day. I watched her on, I think it was Fox. She was not very articulate about how she arrived at her conclusion that Manafort didn't do this. Okay. It's all right. You know, she has a right to be a juror. She has her right to vote as she sees fit. She's one of his peers. I'm not going to blame her, but my point is this. Being the one holdout, she's the one on television. I'm not going to say her name. I was going to give her name, but I'm not going to give her name because that would just give her another 15 seconds of fame. I don't like it. It's not good. You know, you go way back to the O.J. Simpson trial. You had all these people that were on the jury, and you had the people that were alternates. Okay, there was 12 on the jury and 6 alternates. Whenever any one of them made a statement in the press or in the media, they always had an attorney sitting next to them. That was the big thing back then in the 90s, have an attorney. Now all you got is Twitter. You know, you can pretty much say what you want on Twitter because you don't have to say the truth. But there was always an attorney sitting next to somebody, and they all wanted their 15 minutes of fame, which is just ridiculous. You know, you're a juror, big case. Okay, it's a big case. But go on your way after. You know, go back to your life. That's the whole idea about being on a jury. You do your duty as an American citizen. It's over, and then move on. I bet this lady's going to write a book. Okay, I don't think she'll get a TV show, but I think she'll probably write a book about her arguing or going back and forth with the other jurors, being a lone holdout. Maybe she was bullied. Maybe she wasn't. She probably wasn't, because that's not really what the juror system is about. Anyway, want to move on. I want to mention before we go to the next break that in September, I'm not sure what Saturday night, but I'm going to make a live appearance with Mr. James Edwards on the political cesspool. That's in the works. I mentioned it before, but it's going to be in September. It's going to be after Labor Day. I'm shooting for the weekend at the Saturday after Labor Day. And I want to do a live show with James and the rest of the people down there at Liberty News in Memphis, Tennessee. That's going to be. If you want to come down, I'm going to be in Memphis probably that Friday at Liberty News, meeting everybody. I'll have some 7-5 cigars from Mr. Adam Diaz and some 7-5 t-shirts. And hopefully we'll meet some people. And usually we have a pretty good turnout when I show up someplace. And I don't know why. I'm not the best looking guy in the world. I'm sure it's not because of my looks. But come out, and I'll have more information next week about my live feed on the cesspool in September. So look up 7-5 Radio 1 on Twitter. I'll put it up and I'll post it up and come on down and say hello. What else do we got? Oh, yeah. Okay. Something else come across. getting back to the illegal alien stuff. I'll talk more about this after our break. It's coming up shortly. That fella with the pregnant wife and getting picked up by ICE and taken into custody. Everybody had a, well, not everybody, most of the left got their panties in a bunch over that one. And that kind of fell out of the spotlight when once they found out what the issue was. We have some news on that. And also coming up last week, I wanted to talk about the court system down here in the middle south. Right back after this break.
Is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. Walter Yurkow. Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Well, thank you very much for that introduction. That's always a winner. I love our bump music and I appreciate the people that put that together and play it every week for us. We have a pretty good crew for a small operation, and just want to shout out to all the people that help us and make this show come on the air possible. I thank you very much, and I'm sure Scoop feels the same way. He's been with you guys a lot longer than I have, and I feel right at home with the support that we get from our small crew, but very efficient. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I brought up right before we left, I wanted to go back into the illegal immigrant stuff again. Earlier this week, ICE was put on the burn, so to speak, by the left because they arrested a man who was at a gas station. Okay, now listen to this story. At a gas station, filling up his vehicle, taking his wife to the doctor so they can have a baby. Okay. The left made everybody think that the guy was driving 80 miles an hour on the way to the hospital, you know, like her water broke, and that she was about to have the baby in the car, and they stopped her and interrupted the whole thing. Well, that's not true, and we found out it's not true. And the left dropped this story like a hot potato, okay? And this is how it really went. They had this guy under surveillance, and again, I'm not going to mention his character's name. They had this guy under surveillance. They had an arrest warrant for suspicion of murder from Mexico to grab this guy. And they followed him. And when he stopped in a safe place and was out of the car from his pregnant wife, and nobody's denying she was pregnant, when it was safe and a controllable situation, he was taken into custody without incident. All right, but left jumped all over it. And it says here that finally it says immigration custom enforcement officers, while he was arrested by ICE while accompanying his heavily pregnant wife to the hospital. Now, I don't know what heavily pregnant is. I've never been pregnant. I'm just assuming that, you know, she was ready. She was due, you know, in a matter of days on her own. But it was an appointment to see her doctor to have a C-section, which many, many women choose to have. They could choose the birth date. They know when the baby is coming. They can be better prepared. That's the truth on that. It wasn't like her water broke and she was in the back of a taxi and she was screaming, bloody murder, you know, push, push, push. It wasn't like that. She had a C-section. And I think that, you know, it just goes to show you the left jumps all over it. And they say things about events, hoping that they're true, hoping that nobody looks into it. But this came and went like dust in the wind. And they're still trying to get rid of ICE. Now, why would you want to get rid of ICE? That's one of the toughest jobs. It's tougher than being a normal cop. You have to be aware of what's going on. You have to speak the language, not only their language, but other people's language, because there's so many derivatives of the Spanish language. It's like the, you know, the Asians. You have, you know, the Chinese. You have Japanese. You have the old dialects, the new dialects, street dialects. You know, you got to be aware of all this stuff. And these guys are taking their lives in their hands every time they go to grab somebody. That's why they waited for this guy to get out of the vehicle at a gas station. So it wasn't really in a hurry like the left wanted everybody to believe when this story hit the airwaves and hit the headlines. So it's pretty much a dead issue right now. The guy's in custody. She had a baby. Of course, they got to say she had her baby, comma, alone. Well, listen. If the guy's guilty of murder, he's got to go. He's got to be sent back. He's got to go face the music. So do you think he's in America because he's having a baby, or you think he's in America to avoid a murder case? Well, pretty much probably the latter. I would vote for the latter. And I think pregnancy was just a byproduct. Although the man that was arrested and the lady that had the baby, although they say husband and wife in some of the articles that I've read about this, some of the columns that I've read about this, but they don't have the same name. So, I, you know, who knows? I know that's commonplace in the United States, but people really are actually married with different names. Women are keeping their maiden name for professional purposes. You know, their phones are in their maiden name before they got married. The phones are in their maiden name. The bills are in their maiden name. You know, the license is in their maiden name. The business cards are in their maiden name. You know, people know her by her maiden name. And it's just easier. But, however, I'm just going to put this out there. If the husband's name is Gonzalez and the wife's name is Arroyo, and they say they're husband and wife, but they're illegal immigrants, how do we know that they're married? How do we know that that's his kid? They come here to be American citizens because they were having a baby? I think that was the problem. You know, he wanted to be treated like an American citizen. But if that's your kid, we got you before your baby was born. Because, you know, in our country, if you're a foreigner and your baby is born in this country, your baby becomes a United States citizen by birthright. And then you, as the parent, become citizen because your child was born here. Well, you know, there's a lot of people that don't believe in that anymore. You know, we'll take your kid, but you got to go back. And if you don't want to be separated from your kid, take them with you. Too many people here on a free ticket right now. And I'd like to know if that doctor that performed the C-section successfully, they had a baby boy. You know, it's not the baby boy's fault for. And it also goes on to say that this is the couple's fifth child. Where are the other four? And how old are they? It's horrible that this has happened. You know, the more you read, the more you get sick. And, you know, I'm going to stay on this one because, you know, it gets better and better. The less that this story is talked about, the more information is available. His arrest warrant goes back to 2006 in the beating death of another person, and it's just horrible. And of course, they have legal counsel. Who's paying for this stuff? You know, if I get into a fight and I get arrested for an assault, even if I slap somebody, you know, me being stupid, you know, even if I slap somebody because I'm stupid, you know, I'm looking at $5,000 for a lawyer, you know, on a Class D felony or a Class A or B misdemeanor. You know, apparently when somebody foreign, illegal, gets arrested in this country, they get free representation. Holy cow. Everybody wants to be on the free representation. I'm doing it pro bono. I'm doing it, you know, because I believe in this illegal guy's freaking plight, that he's being abused by the United States government. You know, that's ridiculous. My ramble for the morning is gone on, you know, long enough.
Thank you.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.